I want to start off just by asking a question. It might seem like an obvious question, but how many of you have ever ended up somewhere that you didn't expect to be? Maybe it was a job that you never thought you'd get, or one that you never thought you'd lose. Maybe it was a relationship, a diagnosis, a move. Maybe it was a delay in your plans. Life doesn't always go by the script that we have in our heads. And sometimes we end up in a position that we didn't choose to be in. But what if God is just as present in those places as he is in the ones that we prayed for? Tonight, we'll be looking at the story of Joseph, a story that shows us that God is faithful in every season of our lives, both in our highest and lowest moments. We'll be looking at three different stages of Joseph's life that can mirror the stages we find ourselves in. Firstly, the pit, a place where you feel lower than ever, and a place that is very painful and lonely. Then, the palace, a place full of blessings, but also a place where temptations can come. And finally, we'll look at the realization of God's promise, where God redeems your pain and uses it for his own purpose. Throughout all of these stages, no matter where Joseph was, God was with him. He was and is the God of the highs and the lows. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening. Starting off in Genesis 37, Joseph has been receiving dreams from God, and he's been telling his brothers about them. His brothers become jealous, and they plan to kill him, but they end up settling on just throwing him into a dark hole. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came closer to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'A vicious animal devoured him.' Then we will see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands by saying, "Let's not take his life." Then Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, so that he might rescue us, so that later he might rescue him out of their hands to return him to their father." So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the multicolored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty, without any water in it. Joseph gets thrown down into a pit by his own brothers. He gets betrayed by those closest to him. The pit is dark. It's lonely. It's uncomfortable to be in. It feels inescapable and soul-crushing. This is probably the lowest that Joseph has ever been, both literally and emotionally. He can't see any way out. He's miserable, and he feels betrayed. What's your next move when you're trapped in the pit? You can yell, you can punch, you can scream and kick, you can curse those who put you there, but it won't get you out. It won't get you out of the hole that you're in. Have you ever been down in the pit? Have you ever been in a situation that seemed hopeless? A situation that you couldn't see the way out of? Everyone faces their own personal pits throughout their life. Pits can be small. They can be things that just bring you discomfort, but don't completely derail your life. Or they can be bigger pits, like the one Joseph finds himself in. As most of you know, I moved to Denver last August for school, and I found myself in a huge pit. I got there, and I didn't know how to do my laundry. This is really hard to talk about, so just bear with me. Now, at my house, I don't know if this is just an Oklahoma thing, but at my parents' house, there's actually a laundry fairy, and when I have laundry, it just gets done, and I don't have to do it. But I got to Colorado. I got to Denver. I'd been there for a week, and I was like, okay, I got to do my laundry. It's been a week. Stuff is starting to get dirty. My sheets, I let them go way longer. But my clothes are starting to get dirty. I got to wash them, and I didn't know what to do. I had no clue in the world how to do laundry. So someone told me that you go to the washing machine, and you open the little thing, and you just pour the detergent in there until it fills up. So I did that, and I poured, and I poured, and I poured. And I had been given this giant thing of detergent for graduating, and I used over half of it. I had no clue when to stop. It had a little hole in the back, and the person that told me that didn't know that. I used, like, all of the detergent. And then To make matters worse, I tried to go back up to my apartment, and I tried to eat something to make myself feel better, and I had burnt frozen pizza for like the fifth time in 3 days. That's a pit. That's about as low as it gets. No, that's a funnier example of a pit, but for some of you this evening, the pit that you're in is way darker, and it's way deeper than burnt pizza or wasted detergent. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job. Perhaps you're facing addictions or a sin that you just can't stop. Whatever your pit is, I bet it's a lot more pressing than the story I've just shared. We've all faced moments that felt like the pit, but as we'll see later, God was with Joseph every step of the way. God's presence doesn't always remove pain. It doesn't eliminate the pit, but it promises a way out. Joseph is betrayed by those closest to him. He's thrown down into the pit, and then he's sold into slavery. And yet God has a plan and is present throughout this whole ordeal. Your life will take many different turns. There will be ups and downs, but this part of Joseph's story shows that God is present even when you're alone and even when you're at your lowest. Later on in Joseph's story, he goes from the lowest of the lows in the pit to a position of importance in the Egyptian government. In Genesis 41, 38 through 40, Joseph is placed in one of the highest positions in all of Egypt because of his character and because of the Lord's influence on his life. Verses 38 through 40. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom there is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you are. You shall be in charge of my house, and all my people shall be obedient to you. Only regarding the throne will I be greater than you." Joseph goes from the pit, he goes from the lowest of the low, to being placed within the palace of Pharaoh. Have you ever felt like you were living in the palace? Have you ever gone through a time in your life where everything just seemed to click, and you felt God's blessings a little extra? Joseph is on top of the world at this point, and he's gone from being trapped in a hole to being the ruler over Egypt, but God didn't put him there for no reason. Joseph receives a dream in which God tells him that there will be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. God placed Joseph in this high position so that he could help others. He didn't lift up Joseph just for Joseph. He lifted Joseph up so that he could help others. God also used what Joseph went through in the pit and being sold into slavery to bring him to this very moment. God used pain and betrayal to shape Joseph into the man that God needed him to be when he took control of Egypt. For all the times that you've been down in the pit, for all the times that you've suffered, sometimes a time comes where life is going great. A time comes where you find yourself feeling like Joseph in the palace instead of Joseph in the pit. If God brings you to the palace, if God lifts you up after you've been down in the pit, then stay humble and faithful and use what God has given you to help others. Use your opportunity to bring glory to God and not personal comfort. And don't let the palace make you forget the pit. The things that you've been through have shaped you and they've gotten you where you are. The palace is the place where people tend to forget God. They believe that things are going so well that they don't need God, or they just forget about him until they need him again. Joseph knew that God had gotten him into the palace, and he trusted God, whether he was at the bottom or the top, and he continued to glorify him. God is not just the God of getting you out of the pit or promoting you to the palace. He's the God of fulfilling his purpose through every stage. And that purpose is the promise. His plan to redeem, restore, and use your life for his glory, even in the places of past pain. God's promise is that your pain has a purpose. He will redeem your pain, and he will use the things that you've been through to produce fruit. Genesis 41, verses 50 through 52. Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, For he said, God has made me forget all of my trouble and all of my father's household. And he named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph has finally realized God's promise here. He sees that everything that he's been through in his life, from the pit to the palace and everywhere in between, was for a purpose. Joseph knows now that his story happened so that God could use him to produce fruit. God didn't just pull Joseph out of the pit. He made something good grow from it. Joseph starts by naming his firstborn Manasseh, and the text says that this name means that God made Joseph forget his trouble and the things that had happened in the past. Joseph doesn't literally forget what happened. He still very much remembers being betrayed, and he remembers being at the bottom of the pit. Joseph doesn't forget the facts of what happened, but he no longer feels the sting of the things that hurt him in the past. God healed the wounds that Joseph received in the pit and that he continued to carry afterwards. God didn't heal Joseph instantly, just like he didn't immediately pull him out of the pit. But he had a plan, and Joseph's relationship with God and his continued faithfulness led to him being able to move past the things that had been done to him. Joseph could have become bitter, he could have blamed God, and he could have tried to get revenge, but he lets go instead. He lets go of his negative emotions, and God removes those emotions from his life as a result. Joseph lets go, and he lets God instead. Manasseh's name represents emotional freedom, something that you can only receive from God, something that comes from your own forgiveness and from letting go of your bitterness and instead letting God comfort you. Have you let God give you a Manasseh? Have you let go and been set free from what you experienced when you were in your own pit? It's easy to replay the things that happened to you when you were at your lowest and to become angry and bitter. But God offers you something better. God offers to set you free, and not just from the pit that you were in, but from the pain that comes with it and the pain that comes after it. We've all been in pits before, albeit at different depths, but God offers not only a way out of the pit, but a way out of the pain that lingers afterwards. In verse 52, Joseph has another son, and he names this one Ephraim. He chooses this name because it represents how God made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. Joseph is sold into slavery in Egypt. He's ripped away from his family, and he's made to serve Potiphar. But God doesn't wait to bless Joseph until he's out of Egypt. He doesn't wait until Joseph has left the place that brought him pain. God blesses Joseph while he's still in Egypt. He blesses Joseph while he's in the same place that brought him pain. God doesn't waste pain. Joseph didn't suffer for no reason. He wasn't placed in the pit for nothing. He wasn't sold into slavery or brought to Egypt just because. God turned Joseph's betrayal into blessing. God used the thing that brought pain. He used the thing that others meant for evil, and he used it to bless Joseph and to glorify himself. God can use your pain, and he can use what others meant for evil for good. You just have to let God work. You might still feel like you're in Egypt. You might feel like you're still experiencing the thing that brought you pain. But maybe that's exactly the place that God needs you to be so that he can make you fruitful. Maybe you're like Joseph in Egypt, and maybe God is bringing you through that pain with something bigger in mind. Don't run from God, don't run from Egypt, and don't run from that pain. Let God do his work. Joseph didn't just survive the pit. He was healed from the hurt, and he used it to bless others. That's the promise of God. Not to pull you out of the pit, but to make something good grow from it. And the names Joseph gave to his sons are evidence that the promise was fulfilled. So we've talked about the pit, we've talked about the palace, and we've talked now about the promise. I want to shift the attention of the lesson at this point from Genesis and Joseph to you. I don't know where you are this evening. Life has many different stages. You might be in the pit, you might be in the palace, or you might be looking for the promise, or maybe somewhere in between. Maybe right now it's the pit for you. Maybe you've lost someone. You've had a hard month at work. Your relationships aren't working out. You're having financial difficulties. I don't know what your personal pit is. I don't know what's making you feel low. But God sees you even when you're at the bottom of the pit. God's not absent, and he's not done with you. You hitting rock bottom might be the turning point that bounces you back up to where God needs you to be. God used the pit and being sold into slavery to shape the character and the faith of Joseph so that he could be blessed later. And maybe the same thing is happening to you. Whenever you hit rock bottom, the only way that you can go is up. And God will help you out of the situation that you're in, and he will use it to shape you. Maybe you don't find yourself in the pit this evening. Perhaps you find yourself in the palace. You're in a place where life couldn't get any better. You got a promotion. You took a vacation. Your relationships are going great. Your problems aren't as pressing as they have been in the past. And you feel like you're on a mountaintop right now. Your life is finally on the up and up. You've got success, you've got respect, and you've got comfort. My warning to you is not to forget what brought you here. Don't forget the one who brought you out of the pits that you've been in and allowed you to be where you are today. God placed Joseph in the palace, not so that he could be comfortable, but so that he could prepare Egypt for the famine that was coming. God placed Joseph in the palace so that he could help others and so that he could glorify God. Don't let the comfort of the palace make you spiritually numb. Don't let your good fortune make you forget how God raised you up out of the pit. Joseph stayed faithful in the palace because he was faithful in the pit. Make sure that you stay rooted in God and stay thankful and humble for everything that he has blessed you with. Or maybe this evening, you've begun to see the promise. God's promise is that your pain has a purpose. He redeems it and brings fruit through it. You've made it through hard times, and you've seen God work through those hard times. You still carry scars from the things you went through, but God has helped you to be emotionally healed from those things. Your scars led to now, and now you're able to produce fruit. God has brought you through the hard times, and you can see it. You can thank God for all of the story that he gave you. Through the ups and downs, God has given you your own Manasseh. He's healed you from the things that you suffered from. And he's given you your own Ephraim. You've been able to produce fruit where once you were persecuted. Wherever you are this evening, I want you to remember the story of Joseph and use it to navigate whatever part of life that you're in, whether it be the pit, the palace, or the promise. I hope that you realize and remember that the same God that was with Joseph throughout every part of this journey is the same God that is there for you today. God is the God of the pit. He's present in your pain. God is the God of the palace. He gives you influence for a purpose. And God is the God of the promise. He redeems your past and makes your life fruitful for his kingdom. I pray that your life is like Joseph's, and that when people look at it, they'll be able to see that God has never left you. So wherever you are in your story, the pit, the palace, or the promise, don't give up, don't forget what God has done, and don't stop trusting him. The same God that was there for Joseph throughout every season of his life is there for you too. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and if you're in need, then we invite you to come forward. If you're in the pit tonight, hurting, confused, or struggling, and you need the prayers and support of this church family while you walk through that valley, we want to lift you up. If you're in the palace, if you're blessed but distracted and want to rededicate your life to him and rededicate your life to the one who brought you through the pit, then tonight is the night to come back to him. Or maybe you're standing in the promise. If God has worked through your pain and you now see his purpose clearly, then maybe it's time to give him everything. Maybe that means committing your life to Christ in baptism. Maybe that means surrendering the pride, the bitterness, or the sin that's holding you back. Whatever your need is, whether you're in the pit, the palace, or standing in the middle of the promise, God is still writing your story. Don't wait to turn the page. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.